Hey, Tom.
Hey, JC.
What you wearing, buddy?
I'm wearing my hockey gloves.
Anything else?
Well, yeah, I'm using, wearing normal clothes. This isn't that kind of podcast.
That's true.
You're not paying $1.99 a minute or whatever those 900 lines cost.
Can you imagine if the 900 line was just Okerlund reading audio porn?
That I would pay money for.
That's worth at least $2.99 a minute.
And you know he would.
It'd be great.
Gene Okerlund was a dirty old man.
He was. All those videos that are, I think there's a ton of them on the network too, in his special and all, but like all his, I guess, like blooper reel stuff.
Yeah.
So funny.
Well, Gene would be very good, but I'll take, Howard Finkel.
Describing
pornography.
Yeah, he's not actually reading erotica. He's just describing what he sees on the screen.
And there go the pants.
All right, there we go. Oh, what are we going to talk about this week? Let's see. All Out happened. We missed it last week because of moving/hurricane. We're going to talk about that. Clash of Champions is this Sunday. We're going to talk about that. That's probably it. Whatever else comes up, we'll figure it out.
AEW had a event of some variety.
I said that All Out.
I didn't hear you say All Out.
I did. I promise I did. When you go back and listen to the show, like I know you do every week, you'll hear.
Nope. Hate the sound of my own voice.
Well, let's get it over with so you have to stop hearing yourself talk then, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Can you do me a favor first?
What's that?
Ring that bell, buddy.
Sure enough.
You're listening to the Cheaters Never Pin podcast, a proud part of the Section 328 network, bringing you all the best in wrestling from WWE, New Japan, and beyond. Now, live from ringside, it's Mr. Workrate and JC.
Oh, buddies.
Bong.
It's time for the Cheaters Never Pin podcast. My name is JC. Here next to me at the commentary table to the stars is my good buddy, Mr. Workrate, Tom.
Great to be here as always, JC.
Yes, sir. Oh, back again. Back in the saddle here.
Yes.
Talking to wrestling. Missed last week. The Section 328 West Studios here moved. All 3 minutes down the street.
Yes.
But it moved nonetheless.
I like to hide in those situations because if there's one thing I don't like to help with, it's moving.
Yeah. It was a joyful day. And then when we were going to record on schedule, because everything was done with the move, there was the threat of the hurricane. And we're like, the minute we start recording, the power's going to go out for one of us. So let's not tempt fate this week.
Yeah, we were pretty much asking for it. And yeah. I think I kind of came out of it unscathed. I don't know how you turned out over there, but
it lightly rained for about 20 minutes at one point. Durham got the easy part, so
yeah,
it was not bad.
We were back and forth, but we didn't have too much actual damage. But
that's good. Let's talk about what we missed last week. Let's start with that. Let's talk about AEW All Out. There, I said it again.
For the first time,
said it again for the first time. what'd you think overall? Reaction.
Thought it was $40, man. No, I did happen to catch some of it. I didn't watch the entire thing, but I think all in all, it was a improvement over their last show.
Okay.
I think things kind of went in the general direction where they were kind of expected. Before the theft after the show. We should talk about that as well.
Right.
But I mean, we were discussing before, putting the belt on Jericho is probably the right move, at least in the short term. Just from a publicity standpoint, especially when you're transitioning to television and you're going to be on TNT. Who's going to be your number one headline guy? Chris Jericho. Oh, I know Chris Jericho. And Jericho appeals to not only the mainstream people who might not know who Cody Rhodes or Kenny Omega or the Young Bucks are, but they know Jericho because Jericho was around in the Attitude Era, and I know him, and who's this, who are these other guys that are coming around? But also Jericho appeals to the smart marks, or however you deem it, of that would appreciate AEW and know the Japanese stuff.
Yeah.
So he kind of brings those two groups together. And I mean, again, at least in the short term, until you have television, until you start building up these guys, it helps to have the marquee guy have that marquee value already.
Yeah. He provides that transcendent face of the company that Paige absolutely would not have.
And that's not a knock on Paige.
No. He'll get there. Now that he's going to be on national TV every week, he will get there and have that exposure. But when you're starting out, it's way better to start out with Jericho. Except when he loses the belt.
And by that, we don't mean being pinned 1, 2, 3.
We mean literally having the belt stolen while he's at a Longhorn?
Longhorn Steakhouse.
So what was the exact story on that? Because I think all this went down while I was in the middle of the move. So I was just catching bits and pieces of it. And so the way I understand it, he left the airport. They had the wrong bags, but he had the belt on him. He left the belt in the limo. The limo went back to get his bags, and when they came back, the belt was gone.
The version that I heard, and my apologies, I wasn't keeping up with the changing story each day or whatever, was similar to that, except that I guess the belt would have been in his bags. He went, he got picked up by the limo. They discovered that the bags maybe weren't his. Maybe.
Right.
See, I had thought that the belt was in the bags and that they realized they picked up the wrong bag. So they went to go pick up the actual bags.
Okay.
And then when they went and picked up the actual bags and brought them back, the belt, which should have been there, was not there.
Gotcha.
That was my understanding of it. I could absolutely be wrong on that. It may be similar to you. It may be the belt was in the back of the limo. Dusty grabbed it. I don't know.
Anyway, the belt was lost. Jacksonville police were involved. And then the story of it being reclaimed. Apparently someone found it on the side of the road.
Because Florida.
Yeah, that's the only place that you're just finding a $25,000 piece of gold. And someone's just like, I found this. I'm going to bring it to the police station.
Like, I'm rewatching The Good Place. And it's in one of the episodes in the most recent season where they're going back to Jacksonville.
Okay.
Where the one dude is. And they get into the airport, and it's Randy Macho Man Savage International Airport. And the logo is the best logo because it's like kind of like silhouettes of like two planes swooping in, and the third silhouette is Randy dropping the elbow off the top rope. And they all kind of blend together. It really is like the best logo I've ever seen for an airport. But yeah, it's Florida. It's something you expect in Florida, like to have. I was driving down the road looking for a Hooters and something shiny.
And I saw
the corner of my eye.
I saw this glimmer out in the swamp.
I thought new hubcap to go with my collection. But alas.
But instead. So I threw it in the bed of my 1981 Ford pickup. If you're from Florida, I apologize. But you're all like that anyway. So are you rewatching the Good Place while we're talking?
No.
Oh, okay. Because that was where I was going to segue to be like, so here in the new studio, I have a monitor where I can actually watch stuff while we do this now.
Okay.
So I'm watching a match I know you would appreciate today. I'm going to take Tom's bit of watching old wrestling while we record.
I got nothing left now.
This is from WC. This is a hidden gem. You've probably already watched it. From a WCW main event, Eddie Guerrero and Jushin Thunder Liger.
Very nice.
Yeah, I thought you'd appreciate this, that one.
So this would have been...
Hold on, I can tell
97
you.
Or
1995.
So. 95. Eddie was over in WCW that early?
Yeah, it's dated as October 1, 1995.
See, it's tough for me to comprehend. Like, I started watching wrestling again. Like, I started watching ECW in 95. That's when I first found it at 3 o'clock in the morning on the MSG network, which it all wasn't always on at the same time each week. But, and I remember Eddie being brought in to feud with Dean Malenko at the time, because Dean was part of the triple threat. It was Shane Douglas, Dean Malenko, and Chris Benoit.
Who?
And redacted.
there you go.
Wild Pegasus. We're allowed to say Wild Pegasus, right?
Oh, yeah, because he didn't murder his wife and child in the
okay.
It's not funny. Why am I laughing?
Slight segue here. So I played in the Jim Connors Media Cup ball hockey event.
Oh, you fancy.
That all the Canes media gets to play in each year, and I managed to beg my way into it this year.
Somehow it's now the Hurricanes Wrestling Fed.
Yes. And what they do is they had the ice down, and then they put, like, not mats, but, like, kind of hard flooring over the top of it so you can kind of walk around and not like slip Marley. On ice. Due to weather conditions, though, I guess condensation kind of builds up sometimes, and
nice,
it gets a little bit wet on this hard surface.
I really
would be fine if you were just kind of walking on it, but when you're playing ball and you're running,
yeah,
people are sliding and falling. And Corey Lavalette, who is not listening to this podcast, hi Corey, but writes for the North State Journal and used to write for Canes Country and Quality Hockey Dad.
Yes.
As I am. He was on my team and proceeded to run after a ball. And I noted earlier that he was wearing Chuck Taylors, which...
Oh, no. He didn't destroy his ankle, did he?
Danger to begin with, but no, he just lost it completely and landed flat on his back and took a wicked shot to the head as well.
Yikes.
So he had a decent lump in the back of his head, and you know, we kept checking on him a little bit. You know, he went
under protocol
to the sideline. He was okay, you know, like fine. And he just kept kind of repeating over and over, if I kill my family, you know why. I'm like, damn, you got dark, Corey, and I appreciate the CTE reference.
Jesus. Wow.
I didn't ask him if his pets were in the enclosed pool area,
though. Yeah, well, that's step one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my segue to that, but
I don't know how to recover. What else happened at All Out?
Who else got CTE?
Let's see. The Lucha Brothers beat the Young Bucks in the ladder match. It was exactly what you expected it would be.
Oh, and people complained about that too. Not the match, because the match was great. But they're like, how can you not have that be the final match? That should have been the main event.
Huh?
Why? And it's like, well, because it was the best match of the night, and how do you follow that up?
I understand it from that viewpoint, but that's such a dumb argument to make when your first world championship match is ever on a card.
Yeah.
Or any world championship match is on a card.
So then the belief is, well, that's fine. You need a buffer between that. You need a cooler match.
Yeah, that would have been a great place for Pac and Kenny Omega.
I don't know about that even.
That match, the online reaction was not good.
Yeah, I didn't actually catch that, so I'll take your word for that.
You got Cody committing inadvertent animal cruelty. Like, I know he didn't mean anything by it, right? But maybe we don't bring the dog. Maybe we don't bring Pharaoh near Pyro anymore. I'm sure it won't happen ever again. I'm sure we're done with that.
Yeah, because he loves that dog.
Yeah.
And Cody and Brandy are very big on animals to begin with anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was at this event or at the event before that, the last pay-per-view that they had. They did a meet and greet, and all the money from the meet and greet went to a local animal charity.
Yeah. I think that was for Double or Nothing. Maybe it might have been. I don't know. Yeah. Best part about that match: Arn Anderson hitting a spine buster.
He's still got it.
It's so good. It's like, that's all he ever has to do. Just once every couple of years, show up somewhere, hit a spine buster, and it was like, God damn that Arn Anderson.
And the thing is, he's what, 60 now or whatever? He's got one good arm, and he can still pull that off like nobody's business.
And he's, you know, he's got the, I don't want to call it a beer gut, but he's got a beer gut, right? Like, he's dumpy Arn Anderson now, which I would never say to his face because I would not want to get hit with a spine buster.
No.
And it's just so beautiful. It's a work of art every time. I greatly enjoyed this match, though. Like, again, Cody having what to me was the match of the night on the card, right? I don't know.
Sorry, I was drinking something.
Oh, just... you're good.
Thought you were going to say, match of the night. Nah.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was.
I'm not going to go into any more detail about that. Just match of the night.
Cody.
Moving on.
Yeah, Cody putting together a very good classic American wrestling match.
Which is what
Spears.
Cody does.
It's perfect. And it continued the story, too, right? Like, this isn't over. It was great.
It's one of the reasons I think Cody didn't work so well in New Japan was that Cody does great American matches.
Yeah.
And that doesn't always work so well in Japan.
No.
Because, I mean, in his New Japan run, and we discussed it like in his first match with Juice when he first came over, what, 2+ years ago or 3 years ago, whatever it was, in that January 4th show. I think that was our fall asleep match. And just his entire run pretty much with Bullet Club and that type of thing. He was a good mouthpiece, and the tension between him and Omega worked well, but
yeah,
the matches never got to a level where you're like, wow, I can't wait to see the Cody match.
Right. But here, yes.
Because he does. He's like his dad. He knows how to tell a good story. American story.
Yep. I'm still waiting on MJF to eventually turn on Cody. I mean, we obviously got plenty of time before that ever needs to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a fine show. I'm still on the whatever, let's get to TV bandwagon with them.
Let's see. Yeah, I'm looking forward to television.
Yeah. They are releasing Road to TNT YouTube videos. I have not watched one yet. But if you're feeling so inclined, they are there. So Sunday, this Sunday, live from the Queen City, Charlotte, North Carolina. Got ourselves a pay-per-view. Clash of Champions.
Not Clash of the Champions.
No, that one would make sense in Charlotte. Or anywhere in North Carolina. But, you know, we'll take what we can get. So let's run down the card here.
Clash of the Champions would need to be a free show on TBS.
That's true. Remember how SummerSlam was nice and short, and we were like, holy crap, it was only 3.5 hours. We can go to bed at 10:30?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to happen this Sunday.
No.
So, as is tradition to Clash of Champions, every title is on the line. But is that enough? No. We added one more match. Because, of course.
Oh God, I'm looking at this like, yeah, we do have a lot of titles,
yeah,
don't we?
Yeah. So I'm just going to run down this in Wikipedia order. SmackDown women's title. Bayley defends against Charlotte Flair. Now, you tend to think Charlotte's not going to win because she's in her hometown. But
she has to be embarrassed in some way.
She's also a Flair. And Bayley's heel now? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, it's... I don't... Are we going to work the whole thing of she's not really that much of a heel, but it's just that damn Sasha Banks that's influencing her and they're best friends? And
see, it's so hard to tell, right? Because she, like, clearly in this situation against Charlotte, she is the babyface, right? Because we haven't done anything to position Charlotte as the face. So, you leave her in her natural position there. Bayley's just picked up this edge that makes her like a weird tweener that doesn't know what it wants. Now, at least she's telling it. It's working really well because she's keeping her, like, smiley, happy, overly joyous tone while she's talking about the fact that she learned she's never going to get any respect and she's got to go earn it. I dig that, finally. But I feel like if this pay-per-view wasn't falling here, the story would make a little more sense.
Yeah, they found a way to tell Bayley's story. Because even, you know, like, her as a face works for a certain period of time. And, I mean, they dropped that ball so badly before. And bringing her back and putting the belt back on her, she kind of had a little bit of her shine back, but still not really that much.
Well, between the let her lose all the time because she's dumb WWE babyface and the on again, off again, are her and Sasha friends or enemies thing, they totally ruined Bayley, right? I feel like we're building it back now.
Yeah.
With a little bit of an edge. So I don't know. I think we'll know more about her actual alignment after this pay-per-view. Because they started this turn right in the middle of the build to her and Sasha's matches, which was weird. In their first match of the night, Seth and Braun defend the Raw Tag Team Championships against Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler.
Yay.
Yeah, that's a match. I mean, you don't... Roode and Ziggler are just kind of a random team, so, I mean...
Remember when Raw had a tag division?
And they do! Right? Because aren't the Usos there? Right?
The Usos are still a thing?
Yeah. You've got the Viking experience Raider War something there.
Yeah.
Right? You've got AOP there. Right?
Are they completely healthy?
I don't think so yet, but I mean, they're you know, that's an option.
Right.
Down the line. You still got the B team floating around, which is always fun, right? You need the fun. God, who else is... Hold on. I gotta pull up the Raw roster here.
Are the Revival in Raw? Or are they SmackDown officially?
You got the Revival? No, they're... crap. Can we get to October so we go back to a brand split where I can know what the heck's going on?
Yeah. And that is the rumor. The rumor is that we're getting another draft once Fox happens.
Yeah. Well, because you're obviously going to load up SmackDown.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised to hear that announced Monday. Yeah, you got the Viking people. You got the Usos. I mean, you technically have Lucha House Party. You've got the Good Brothers.
Yep, that's right.
You've got AOP. You've got... I mean, there's options here. You've got Hawkins and Ryder. You can keep doing that. That's fine. It gives them something to do. You've got the Ascension, which I realize we've totally destroyed them, but you know, they're there. I mean, there is a tag division here on Raw. But this is a match.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know who wins. It doesn't matter because it's the Raw tag division. then in their second match of the night, Seth defends the Universal Championship against Braun. Is it finally time to put strap on Braun?
No.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I've gone back and forth on it a lot, right? I mean, WWE has wanted to go down this road for a while. And it's like they can't commit hard enough. And I don't know if now is the right time.
Something's going to schmoz this match. And I don't know if it's a case of Rollins and Strowman retain their tag titles and then Roode and Ziggler like interfere in the match and like beat them both up to cause like the match to get thrown out or something.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, well, I'm booking WWE.
Yeah, I don't know.
Got to remember, in SummerSlam, we had like a double count out for the actual world championship.
It's true. We can blame that on Bischoff.
Yeah.
This is a Raw match. This is Heyman's territory, though. Speaking of the WWE Championship, Kofi defends it against Randy again. I really enjoyed this storyline. It's been kind of perfect.
Yeah, they've been doing it well. They've been building it well. They've been having good confrontations with each other. They've been flashing back to 10 years ago.
It's perfect.
Replicating the same spots.
And I think I say this every time we talk about Randy, but Randy is in full I don't care mode, so I'm just going to go out there and have fun and have a good match and enjoy myself. And that is when he's at his best.
Yep.
So this match is going to be good. The one at SummerSlam before the double count out was good.
Yes.
So hopefully we have a decisive winner this time, unless it's going to Hell in a Cell. Because that is next month.
Yay.
A triple threat for the Cruiserweight Championship. Not marked on the pre-show. Absolutely on the pre-show. Gulak defends against Humberto Carrillo and Lince Dorado.
I love Lince Dorado.
He's so under... That match, was it? That was Metalik that had the match with Rey.
Yeah.
This week. That was good. But yeah, Lince Dorado also good. The New Day defend the SmackDown Tag Team Championships against The Revival. Cool.
Yep.
Sure, that's a match. a continuation of the FTRKO feud. Which, who knew the Revival and Randy would work so well together? Just feels right.
I know I'm going into sacrilege a bit, but there's almost a Horseman vibe to them.
Yes, I understand what you mean. They all have that very old school feeling to them, right?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
The thing is, they don't have... I'll say they don't have a flair. Like...
Yeah, okay.
Randy comes off more as like a Tully Blanchard. Like, he's also cocky, you know, he knows how to dress well, but he's not flair.
Yeah.
And then you have the Revival, who are basically like the Andersons.
Right, they're Art and Ollie.
Yeah.
So you put Charlotte with them.
That'd be interesting.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it? That would be dope.
Because we have this thing of stables can't cross genders.
But you,
like, yeah. the only way that a woman and a man can be affiliated with each other in WWE is to have a sexual relationship.
Right. Which, by the way, I don't know if you realize this. Seth and Becky are engaged.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
yeah, and how interesting, like, and if there's one person they would let do it, it's Charlotte, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean,
and to have her in the Flair role as Charlotte Flair, being like kind of the face and leader of that stable, that would be so interesting.
But this then goes into the whole stable aspect, kind of like how New Japan does it. Of having groups that don't necessarily have to constantly tag with each other to prove that they're a group.
Yeah. They're just aligned, right? They got each other's backs. It's a handshake agreement.
Like, you can have an affiliation without having to team together all the time and be seen together all the time. Could you imagine, like... if there were a group like Chaos or something like that in WWE, you'd have like 9-person interviews all the time.
Oh, God. That sounds awful.
And 9-man tag matches.
Ugh. Yeah, I don't want them anywhere near that. I do want this to happen just so we get the FTRKO Charlotte ride-along episode, because I feel like Charlotte, Randy, and the Revival in a car together on a trip would be entertaining.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It would be.
Yeah, sure.
Shinsuke defends the Intercontinental Championship against The Miz.
If The Miz wins, how many Intercontinental titles is that for him?
311.
Yeah.
I don't see a reason he should win here, right?
A show of hands, how many people remembered that Shinsuke Nakamura was Intercontinental title?
I did, because he brought it out last night.
Well, yeah. But...
you saying Miz Wiz made me think of Cheese Whiz, which made me think of making something in a crock pot, because I just wanted to diverge to this because it reminded me. I don't know if you've seen the newest item on WWE Shop, Tom. But you can buy the WWE Championship slow cooker.
Oh.
So it's a generic crock pot, right? But the design on the outside of it is all of the belts, all the way around it. For the low price of, I think it was either $50 or $60. I was like, that's an interesting product, WWE Shop. it's cool. And like, if you were making something at like your Royal Rumble WrestleMania party, cool. The rest of the time, okay, sure. And I don't even know that pattern's on the actual like pot part. It's just on the cooker part on the outside.
I would assume not.
All right, let's WWE shop this.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
Usually when you pull the pot out of a crock pot,
it's just black or whatever, right?
Yeah. Because it's that ceramic.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, there's not a picture of just the internal pot, unfortunately. I mean, it's cool. It's a cool idea.
Let's see. Now I'm looking and I realize, I guess this is a individual company that makes these licensed crock pots, because when I searched for it, Google came up with also the Pixar Collection 7-quart slow cooker, which looks exactly the same but has like Pixar characters all around it.
Why?
Because people buy Disney anything.
I know. I work in a place that sells plenty of Disney everything, and it sells. But why? What? Okay. All right. Anyway, it was a divergence. Let's get back here. Becky Lynch defends the Raw Championship against Sasha Banks.
That's going to be a fun match.
It will. I'm really excited to watch Sasha almost injure Becky and botch her way through a match.
We're back on this again.
I mean, maybe she's better now. Maybe going to Japan, she took a class. I don't know. But, like, there's no disputing she wasn't sloppy before, right? Like, I'm not on my crazy pills right now. We're a couple months away from crazy pill time.
I don't know.
My
memory isn't that strong, so
yeah.
We'll see in a major match. We'll see what happens.
Yes, and then we can have her tag with Nia when she comes back. In our only non-championship match of the night, because this card's not big enough, Roman Reigns tries to get his revenge against Eric Rowan in a no DQ match because Eric Rowan tried to murder him. And why call the cops when you can just have a no DQ match?
That's how they do it in Samoa.
Hey, brother. Oos, we're going to have a match. All right. It's going to be two big guys wielding objects at each other. I'm here for it.
It's going to be surprisingly good.
Yeah. Can I just say, too, Rowan cutting his promo last night on SmackDown Tuesday night? Awesome.
Yeah.
Especially with, like, the weird level of character continuity they had to it. Like, I think everyone still remembers the Rowan the Vintner genius thing when he was with the Wyatt family that they started to go into and then abruptly dropped. But there was still that tone to it here. We were talking about no one knows me. No, you know, they want to take me as just a big goon, but I'm not that. Like, I don't know. I thought that was interesting continuity for WWE.
Well, You don't really know anything about Rowan. He's been in the company for, you know, how long now, and he's always just been, you know, the bald guy with the beard.
And the sheep mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm excited he's getting his chance. Because dude's a worker.
Yeah.
Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross defend the Women's Tag Team Championships against Fire and Desire, Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. Cool.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah.
I like the Alexa-Nikki team. Because it's just a fun team. Like, I mean, I love Nikki Cross. I really do. And it's just this, like, I don't know, Garfield and Odie type, like, team where
it's an,
like,
interesting comparison, but I'm here for it.
Like, Alexa kind of just is constantly rolling her eyes and Nikki's just bouncing all over the place.
She's rolling her eyes, she knows how valuable she is, but she also sees her as a friend.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, so when the pairing first started, you know, we were all just going, well, this is only a matter of time. And it's kind of growing on you, and I think that's what's going to eventually end up happening, is the turn's going to eventually come. But
I could see it happening. I could see them losing the belts here and then the turn happening, right?
But it's almost like we're going to keep this going because the longer it happens, the more you're going to appreciate the team, and then we'll piss you off by breaking it
up. Which is the right way to do it.
Yeah.
We're doing good. And then in my preemptive match of the night, AJ Styles defends the United States Championship against Cedric Alexander.
This is going to be fun.
Of course. When don't we say that about a Cedric Alexander? When don't we say that about an AJ or a Cedric match? Let's be real.
But the weird thing is, like, the match gets announced, and I'm looking at my Twitter feed, and, like, I just see people kind of, like, going, oh, yeah, sure, Cedric, you got, like, the U.S. Championship match now, but just remember, I beat you at that Gouge show like 5 years ago. Like, that's how far Cedric Alexander's come.
Yeah. Spent all that time in PWX down in Charlotte. I mean, Cedric made his national name. Like, I don't want to take anything away from him. Like, he was known, if you're deep, deep, deep into indies, you knew him.
Right.
But, like, the Cruiserweight Classic was his coming out party on a national level.
Because I remember when he got announced and you were like, oh, man, you know, he's good. And I'm like, I don't know who he is.
Yeah. I was like, just wait.
And then he had his run. And it was so disappointing when he lost to, I think it was Kota.
It was.
And it was such a good match. And you're like, you went into the match and you're like, Kota's not losing here, but Kota's not winning the whole thing, so maybe.
Remember the Cruiserweight Classic? Remember how excited we were? We were like, Zack Sabre Jr. and Kota Ibushi.
Oh, yeah.
Oh boy. And here we are, 4 years later.
TJP.
No, that's right. He existed.
Yeah.
Boy. That was kind of Gargano and Ciampa's coming out party, too.
Yeah.
Like, man. That was such a great... I think it's time for another Cruiserweight Classic.
I think it's time for a rewatch, is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's worth going back and checking out again.
Especially now, like... Just to see all these guys, see Gulak again, see Tony Nese again.
Before they were stars. Because those guys, I don't think either one of them were actually, they weren't even in NXT yet.
No, I know Tony Nese was still working for, like, the promotion on the island that Zack Ryder and them worked for.
Yeah, on the island. Look at you.
Where am I from, JC?
The state of New York.
I'm from the island.
Long Island. You say the island, and I don't know why, but I think Hawaii every time.
Not from the big island.
Yeah, I don't know. The island. So that's Clash of Champions. I mean, we'll see. That's my thought on this show. We'll see.
There's some good stuff on there.
Yeah. Like, going into SummerSlam, I was like, this thing's good on paper. I look at this one, I'm like, it's fine. We'll see.
I think a lot of it will depend on timing, too.
But yeah, and keep this thing short. Yeah. This is not AEW. You don't need every match to be at least 20 minutes. Yep. Speaking of Cruiserweights, you brought this to my attention before we started recording, because I'd missed this. I guess Hunter Hearst Helmsley? Is that his full name, right? Yeah.
Yes.
The former Paul Levesque, if you will.
Jean-Paul. Jean-Paul Levesque. Helmsley.
McMahon.
Terror Rising.
Ah.
Junior.
He gave an interview to Newsweek. I guess probably talking about... I could probably open the interview and tell you what it's mainly about. Talking about the move to USA and NXT as a whole, there is a quote that's pulled out of it. talking about 205 Live. He was asked, so 205 Live will sit under the NXT umbrella. Triple H responded, you'll start to see 205 begin to. I think it's always existed as an island unto itself a little bit, and it's become lost in this limbo. You'll begin to see it move more towards the NXT banner and the talent there. We have a lot of talent for them to begin to compete either open against anyone or in the cruiserweight division, but have that title sit under the NXT brand is more meaningful. It creates more opportunities for more people. I'm all in favor of getting that onto USA.
Let's be honest. It's where it's belonged all along.
Yeah. I also worry about adding another title to NXT. We're at four now. Five if you count the UK, but I guess that's its own thing because it has its own three titles.
Well, I still think the Cruiserweight title might still show up on pay-per-views and things like that. It's just your undercard type matches and things building are more going to be on NXT because NXT still needs content.
Yeah.
And this is going to be the audience that is going to appreciate.
That's true.
There's the audience watching, and there's also the audience at Full Sail.
Good point. Good point. We're talking about how over the Cruiserweight Classic was, of course, taped at Full Sail University in Orlando.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting move, and I think it's the right move. These guys are very underappreciated.
Yeah. They've been consistently some of the best matches in WWE the last year and a half, pretty much.
Yeah.
They've only been seen by a fraction of people because it's only available on the network. You're not seeing it on mainstream television. And
am I really going to watch another hour of WWE in 24 after I've just watched Raw and SmackDown? Probably not.
And it's unfortunate, too, that, I mean, I mentioned the Full Sail crowd, which, you know, it's obviously going to be all over it. But you're also dealing with when 205 is taping or showing live, I guess. You're dealing with a crowd that's already watched 2+ hours of, you know, wrestling to begin with.
Yeah.
And they've pretty much blown everything on whatever the main event of SmackDown is. And then they're like, oh, by the way, stick around for guys that you might have heard of.
Yeah. Well, you know, and we've both been through that experience at SmackDown Live before, of SmackDown ending and then going to 205 Live and the arena clears. We've seen that in person.
Yep.
And it's unfortunate. And so hopefully this will help. Also in NXT news, travel packages for the Royal Rumble weekend, which I can't believe we're already talking about. I can't believe it's almost that time again. Those go on sale this week, and of course they release all the details. Of note, missing from it is NXT TakeOver.
Yes.
With Triple H noting that TakeOvers may not actually sync up with Big Four anymore. I'm not going to complain about this because it makes that weekend a little bit shorter, and I'm okay with that.
Well, it's not that they're not going to have an event.
Right, but is it a... Yeah. But there's... I mean, that's their signature pay-per-view, right? Like, what else?
Well, Royal Rumble will have...
Worlds Collide.
Yeah.
Right.
Which in itself is an interesting show, but it's not... It's a show.
It doesn't carry the gravitas of a TakeOver.
Right.
Like, TakeOver, you know, is going to deliver. It's going to be this huge event that the wrestling world is going to watch. Worlds Collide is, here's talent from every brand.
Yeah. Here's some cool dream matches type thing.
Yeah. I mean...
But not too much of a dream, you know. We don't want to completely waste
right.
that.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see. Yeah, this is very preliminary because this is only one of four that we know for next year. So we'll see. But it's interesting. that I don't know if it has anything to do with the USA deal or anything like that, and their obviously it has to deal with their strategy. But their strategy pertaining to the way they're structuring their content now. It's interesting. Anything else? Any other wrestling stuff we've missed this week, Tom?
I didn't take any notes, so I'm going to say no.
No, I like that. I'm scrolling through Reddit. I don't see anything. Looks like we're good. All right. Well, I think that does it then. So tell the people where they can find you on the internet, Tom.
Go on to Twitter machine at Mr. Workrate, at MR Workrate. If you look for Jamie Kellner's Smug Mug website, you can see pictures from the Jim Connors Media Cup. You can actually see me running. It is magical.
Well, you could do that because you're bionic.
There's also a picture of me and Mike Sondheim going after a ball, and I'm angled in such a way that my face is contorted and I look like I'm having a stroke.
Right. So find that picture. You can find me on the internet at JC Bobbitt, at JCBOBBITT, wherever finer social media is purveyed. You can find the show on Twitter at CheatersNBRPin. We're on Facebook and Instagram. Just find us everywhere. Do that thing. Next week, Tom, are you going to be at the game on Wednesday?
Yeah, they're giving me barbecue, so.
You're getting barbecue on Wednesday?
So
this is not in my season ticket member package.
Yeah, so I was invited to a full season ticket member barbecue type thing.
Oh, that thing. Right. Yes.
I'm going to assume there's barbecue there.
Yeah, it is every year, isn't it? At least I remember from the past.
They didn't have one last year.
I thought there was one. You're right. Anyway, that is Wednesday. I totally did not read that email. Anyway, well, guess I'm not going. If you happen to be at the PNC Arena this Wednesday night, Tom and I will be there. Come say hello. We'll to talk wrestling. You can tell us what to talk about next week so we don't have to show prep.
Yeah,
appreciate absolutely. That. We love that. Next week we'll be back with whatever happened at Clash of Champions and whatever else happens in wrestling in the next 7 days. So for all of us here at the Cheaters Never Pin podcast, I'm JC.
I'm Tom.
And we'll catch you on the flip side.